I've had these scriptures on my heart for a little bit, and I feel like this is the will of God. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians had a problem with people teaching circumcision salvation or adding it to grace. Paul dealt with the Judaizers. He said they're false brethren. Boy, that's pretty strong, isn't it? If you called a man that didn't disbelieve the grace of God for salvation and he wanted to add something to it or not preach it the way Paul said, let him be accursed. Then he called them false brethren, crept in unaware. They got in the church unaware. Amen. Not everybody that carries a Bible said is a Christian. Amen. That's right. That's why he said, beware of that kind of thing. He said, Satan appeared as an angel of light, transformed himself as an angel of light. He said, beware of false prophets. And so, in the context of the scripture here, I think that we got to look at that the fact of it is that Paul's writing here to these Galatians that there's some instruction he gives them. Verse 1, brethren, he's talking to saved people, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Verse 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Paul's writing here to them about, I really think that in the context now, I believe he's still talking about this false teaching that's crept in. Yeah. And I think in verse 1, what Paul's saying here is, he said, if a man be overtaken in a fault, it's not like this man or whoever falls into this is premeditated to do it. It just caught him. And Paul said, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Right? The word spiritual just takes the mind of a spiritual-minded person. Huh? You listen to me. You cannot restore people tonight if you don't consider yourself. Huh? You've got to put you in the shoes of the individual that's been overtaken in a fault. If I had to say what fault he's talking about here, I believe that he's talking about in this particular verse men being overtaken by the falseness that they had been preached or taught that crept in amongst them people. And no doubt that sometimes the doctrines that people hear it, ain't got in this day and time, they were still people that preached a Mosaic law and added circumcision to grace. And that man could have been overtaken by that. I don't know. But it's been basically in the principle or the application of it, you can be overtaken in a lot of things. Thank God that can get you off the course of God. And we probably have all experienced that sometime after being born again, that sometime we were overtaken by something. And he said, ye which are spiritual, restore. Notice the word restore. Such a one, the spirit of meekness. Considering thyself, lest I also be tempted. And so Paul's saying here that when you go to somebody, you go in as a spiritual man. It's not a carnal dealing. It's spiritual dealing. I want to say a few things about that. You can never think you're better than the person you're talking to. You've got to approach them to the place that you're trying to help them. You're not there to condemn them. You're not there to judge them. Listen, the word restore there is like setting a broke bone or mending a net that's been broke. And therefore, if you're going to set a bone, friend, you're going to have to get in with them and try to help them get back to where they need to be. Ain't God, if they've been overtaken by a fault, whatever the fault might be, it could be a fault in doctrine. It could be a fault in some sin. It could be a fault, thank God, in just a weakness. But the Bible said that this person needs to be restored. Thank God, not judged or condemned or kicked down, but restored back into the fellowship. Thank God, where they can give themselves to God and the ministry. I'm glad God tonight's a God of many chances. I know He's a God of second chance, like He was with Jonah, and He was with Peter and a lot of others. But I'm glad God's a God, thank God, that gives us a lot of opportunities. Amen. He is a merciful God tonight. I'm glad for that. I'm glad God don't throw the clay away. Thank God He makes it again. Because God purchased that clay, and He ain't got to throw anything away that's in His possession tonight. Amen. Thank God He might set you on the shelf a little early, but brother, He will not throw His clay away. Amen. He's God and He loves it. And He really, brother, tonight, I'm telling you, He loves that clay more than that clay loves Him. And He'll restore it, and thank God He'll help it get back to where it needs to be. I'm preaching to folk tonight that I know you know what I'm talking about. Thank God that God got you back into the fellowship of God and helped you and brought you along. And God don't bring the past up to you. Amen. I guarantee if the past is brought up, you'll bring it up or somebody else will. God will not bring your past up. Amen. To restore, brethren, you're going to have to believe in God, brother, that God can, and God's got you there as a helper. Thank God to set that bone or mend that net. And so the Bible said if a man's overtaken that fault, thank God a spiritual man tries to help him. He don't go spread stuff about him. He don't go say, you hear about this, brother. Thank God, friend, he's getting there with him. Amen. Thank God for the times Christ stood with me. Thank God and helped me through the mess I was going through. Thank God and gave me restoration. The Lord restored my soul. Amen. David said He restored my soul. And brother tonight, He'll restore and strengthen a man, get him back where he ought to be, and put him back on the course. Amen. Verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. This word burden here means a real heavy weight. That's what it means. And it means we're to bear or undergo or undergird with them people that's going through such a heaviness in life. Hey, bear ye one another's burdens. That means if Brother Danny's got something heavy on him, thank God I want to help him carry it. Amen. I want to be able to get in with him and pray with him and brother carry that with him. Amen. I don't want to say the Lord bless him and not be willing to get in and do what it takes to help this brother. He's part of me and I'm part of him. That's right. We're one body. There ain't two bodies.
That's right.
Amen. This right hand's part of this left
That's
hand.
Right.
Amen. Because their hands on the same body. Right. And if this brother here is under the burden and he's carrying a heavy load, thank God and I know about it, then I need to get up underneath him. Thank God and help him carry it. He gets weak carrying. If you carry a heavy load, it's going to get weak. If I could tell you something out of this whole message, amen, get in with the people of God and help them. Amen. Lift them up. Carry the burden with them. Thank God we're knitted together in the body of Christ. We're one. And we ought to carry one another's burdens in this walk. Amen. Brother, I tell you, now I know this ain't going to happen. But brother, the church ought not be, thank God, self-righteous. Amen. Sometimes they're going to be like that. Sometimes I might be like that, but I'm telling you, we're never going to help one another when we think we're better than somebody else. You've got to get under the burden with them. Amen. I mean, get in with them. Amen. Brother, I'm telling you tonight, it'll help a church. That's the law of Christ, the rule of Christ. Thank God He burned my sin. Amen. He took my place. Thank God He gave Himself for me. Thank God He saved my soul. Thank God because He died to do it. Amen. That's right. He didn't die in vain. He died to do what He wanted to do. He died, thank God, for the unbeliever. He died for the sinner. He died, brethren, that we could and would, thank God, have saving faith. That we would grab hold of Christ. And Christ will lift the burden of sin. Amen. You say, where'd it go, preacher? Thank God it went away. Amen. He taketh away free of thy sin. Amen. It's been washed clean. It'll be remembered no more. That's why tonight, thank God, He had mercy on me. And He had mercy on you. And that's why tonight we ought to bear one another's burdens. Thank God we're in the same family. Amen. That's right. He said here in verse 3, for if any man thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Brethren, don't be high-minded. Don't be high-minded. Amen. You know what? Knowledge is good, but knowledge can puff a man up. Amen. It ain't what you know, it's who you know. And because of who you know, then he's going to let you know to know some things of what he says. But brother, you can know some things in the Bible, not even be saved. But you can't know Christ and be lost. Amen. Once you know Him, He knows you. Thank God, you tied in, brother. You born in. Amen. You sealed in. That word seal. Thank God, I'm sealed until the day of redemption. Amen, brother. I don't have no problem. Thank God we believe in eternal security because I'm as secure tonight as I ever will be. Amen. In Christ I am. He sent me with the Holy Ghost. That's thank God. He's a coming back for whom He's sealed. Thank God the Holy Ghost, my friend, lives in me. And brother tonight, that's only because of Him I know anything. Amen. That's right. Praise God, I get it firsthand. I mean, I love Brother Danny and he can help me. He knows the Bible. But I get it firsthand.
That's right.
I mean, if God speaks to me, I'm getting it from Him.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't have to have somebody tell me. He said, this, the Lord told me this. I see, I got that firsthand myself. Amen. That's right. You know what? I imagine this Bible. I mean, that's when I use the word imagine. I think about this Bible, and I believe it's inspired tonight. I believe every bit of it's God breathed. I believe God breathed and God put it on men what to write. Amen. And God had it set up, thank God. And I look at it like this. Can I think about it like this? These men that wrote, thank God, what God said right. Amen. Could you be like a child that, thank God, is doing a book report. Now, I'd hate to put it on this kind of ground, but thank God, and the daddy's right there beside him telling him everything to write. Amen. And you know, God sat with them men and everything they wrote. Think about that. When they was writing, God was saying, write this. God said, write this. And brother, they wrote it and God put a stamp on it. And God said, every time it's preached, it'll be anointed. Every time it's preached, it's got authority on it. Every time it's preached, it still works. Hey, God, it ain't a dead letter, it's a living letter. Amen. It's a love letter. And the Holy Ghost is going to anoint the word. And it's not what I know. Hey, God, it's what He knows. He knows everything. And if He don't give us something beyond ourselves, we'll not have nothing. Amen. That's right. Amen. I think a good prayer for anybody that's teaching or preaching the word is this. God, speak to me, but speak through me things that only you know. That's what the people need. Isn't that right? Look at verse 4. He said, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Amen. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now, why can you say verse 2 here says bear one another's burden? And it says, this is what these, I'm going to give you what it means right here. Verse 2 saying this man's carrying a heavy load. He's got a heavy weight on him of something that he's carrying, whatever the burden is. Verse number 5 is saying, He's got a backpack of responsibility on him. He's got to carry his own responsibility. That's what he's saying. If you look up at it, that's what it basically means. It's like carrying a backpack of responsibility. And every man's responsible for that. Amen. Look at verse number 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. And that's what Jesus basically did with his own men. He taught them. They spake to him. It's a communication grounds. If you look at the word communicate, we communicate by words. We communicate in fellowship. We communicate. I can learn from you. I can learn from you. I can learn from somebody if we can communicate. I can't learn from somebody if we can't. Preaching is communication. Teaching is communication. Thank God Edgar Thomas told me that a long time. He said, Brother Jewel, he said, teaching is communicating. It's getting the gospel out by the spoken word, and it's communicating to the hearer the truth. And that's exactly what it is. Thank God, if you can't understand me, and I know the Holy Ghost is the interpreter and the revealer of it, but if you don't understand what I'm saying, he surely, thank God, ain't going to be able to interpret it to you. Amen. And understanding does come by the Spirit, but I'm talking about, thank God, speaking the truth and making it where you know what it is. Amen, brother. I'm telling you, I don't want no big words. I can't understand, thank God. I'd rather have somebody to get down to where I'm at, thank God, and say it like it is. Amen. That's right. Too many people want to hear, then they say, boy, that man spoke eloquent. Well, my goodness. Moses said, I'm not eloquent of speech. Why did God have to have an eloquent man to speak? He don't have to have eloquent men. I think Apollos was eloquent, according to what we've read. But, brother, I'm telling you, God has different men. I'm not speaking against it. I'm just saying I'd rather have somebody just to say it as it is. Thank God, and tell me what it says. Hey, hey, man, thank God, just get down and say, you must be born again. And that means that God's going to have to do a supernatural act by quickening you and making you alive to God and giving you repentance and faith to believe. Amen. Brother, you got to have repentance and faith. Amen, but you'll not have it till the Holy Ghost falls in on you. Amen. That's right. What did he say? Granted unto them repentance unto life. Them Gentiles had to hear the gospel to get repentance and save in faith. Repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, brother. Repentance is toward God who you offended, and faith is toward Christ. Thank God who died for you. Amen. That's right. Say, how do you repent? I don't know. You just, God grants it to you. He makes you willing. Amen. Somebody said, I want to be saved. Are you willing? You got to be willing to be saved. Isn't that right? If you're not willing, you're not going to be saved. That's right. Praise God, I got willing. I wanted God. It didn't matter what God told me. He told me I didn't have to do nothing after I found out I didn't have to. He just got me willing to do anything I had wanted and needed to do to get saved. And then God said, you don't have to do that. There are some things God will tell you have to do. Brother, God's already done it all. He just wants you to obey Him by the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's right. Notice this here. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Don't be misled.
Right.
The word mocked there, can I tell you what that means right there? God is not mocked. It means don't stick your nose up in the face of God. That's what it means. Just don't stick your nose up in the face of God and think you better than Him or know more than God, and you don't want to hear no kind of talk from God. A lot of people's like that. They don't hear nothing about God. If you went to their house and said something about God, they said, I don't want to hear that. In other words, I'm sticking my nose up to God. That's the only way, that's the way God speaks in this day. Notice here in verse number 7, he said, God is not like, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, I believe, and honestly, if we sow truth, we reap truth. Amen. You never will. Nobody ever gets saved without truth. Jesus is the truth. The Word is the truth. He said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy Word is truth. The Word is spoken. The Word is living. Jesus is the living Word. Amen. But when a man sows the truth of God in the Holy Spirit, it's going to get in the heart of them that have a heart to receive it. Thank God, like the good ground, when the Word fell in his heart, thank God it brought forth fruit. And brother, it'll happen every time. If the truth is ever told in authority in a group of people, the truth, thank God's going to fall in your heart, and there'll be something happen. Amen. That's right. The reason it's happening ain't happening as much today because we don't have as good a ground to sow on. There ain't nothing wrong with the sower. There ain't nothing wrong with the seed. The problem is the soil. The soil must be broken. The soil must be ready to receive the seed. You can't throw seed on hard ground by the wayside. And may I say tonight, he said that wayside seed was that seed that was sown. Thank God on that hard ground, and the fowls of the air plucked it up. And there's been many a time that the church has probably been guilty that when the gospel's been preached, they did not saturate it in prayer. And also they did not mentally take it out of the house of God. By the time they got to the back door, they was talking about something else besides God, and the devil might use that to snatch it away from a man in his own mind if the Holy Ghost sowed it in him. You don't know what God does, but brother, you take a lost man and he's got under conviction or got hearing the word of God. Hey, God, you ought not go back there and ask him about, thank God, what he bought at Lowe's yesterday. Amen. You ought to be prayerful about it and shake his hand. Thank God he's here. Hey, brother, tonight the problem with the church is we've lost the spiritual mentality. Thank God, the power of God, and we don't expect nothing no more. And brother, the reason we don't is because we don't live like it. Amen. Reason we say, what about an old-time church? The church is you and me. It ain't the building.
Right.
Thank God it's us. It's every day.
Right.
I'm as much a church, thank God, in the morning when I wake up as I am standing here in the pulpit.
Right.
If you'll ever get that mentality in your head that this building is not the church.
Right.
This building is a place of the house of God. Amen. When I say the house of God, we're really the temple of God. But it is, we call the house of God. It ought to be respected. It ought to be regarded. But brother, your body's more important than where we sit tonight. And when we don't see that, we won't live right. We'll only live right when we enter the door. Thank God and be reverent to God. And we ought to be, praise God, in His presence. There's fullness of joy. And we ought to live like that all the time. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. God help us. If you ever get a hold of that, it'll help you. You won't be a hypocrite, I guarantee you that.
Yeah.
Amen. You won't say, I put on my religious face when I come through the back door. So you got your spiritual mindset. Thank God before you ever get here. Amen. That's exactly right. Praise God. He's the same God when I read the Bible today. Same God as the God I'm preaching tonight.
Amen.
Amen. He met with me up here today. Thank God when I was reading the Bible. When I got down to pray, I felt the rush of God. Amen. Brother, I'm telling you, thank God. Brother, tonight, what you sow's what you'll reap. If you think about God, you'll reap the good things of God. Amen, brother. This is a law. It's a rule. And take the way law away and say it's the rule of God. It's the way of God. Ain't going to change. It don't matter who it is. Whether a man is saved or lost. Thank God, friend, it's a rule that whatsoever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. Amen. Amen. He said, he that soweth to his flesh shall reap flesh, reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. So whatever a man sows, that's what he reaps.
Right.
Amen. We've heard that all our life. I want to encourage you this though. Most of the time we've heard it when somebody didn't do right, you'll say, well, they're going to get what they deserve.
Yeah.
Amen. Brother, I'm glad I don't get what I deserve.
Yeah. Right.
I'd get hell. That's right.
Mercy.
That's right, buddy. That's right. The mercy of God come on me, brother. Amen. When you say that about somebody, you better think about yourself. Had not been for the grace of God.
Right.
Amen. Listen, I want to give this on a positive note. If a man sows good things, he reaps good things. If a man sows the flesh, he'll reap for the flesh. If a man sows the circumcision, if a man sows the fleshly ways that God said in the prior chapter, the works of the flesh, say right there, hey God, the fruit of the Spirit, whatever a man sows to, that's what he's going to reap. If a man sows to God, if a man sows to righteousness, if a man sows to the goodness of God, he's going to reap some things that's good. But if he sows to the flesh, he'll reap it. Amen. You can't listen. You can't raise children and sow to the flesh and expect them to turn out spiritual. You can't do it. None understand and know that God has to do it. God's got to work in anybody's heart, whoever it is. But brother, you can't drink and smoke and curse and carry on and expect your kids to come out and be saints.
Right.
What you sow is what comes up. And really, if you go genetically, I don't care. I mean, I'm not going to get that deep with it. But the thing of it is, brother and I don't believe in the fourth generation curse like the book of Genesis teaches or back there in Exodus. I don't believe in that. I believe God's lifted that through Calvary. I believe every man's an individual and has to be born again. But the fact of it is, there is some truth to it. Not the generational curse, but what we sow, it causes our children to have to reap some of that stuff. Amen. Even our own grandchildren can reap some of that stuff. And what we sow. Amen. The reason why, because they're part of us. What he said, little leaven left the whole up. It hurt the whole church. That man that committed fornication, Paul turned him over to Satan, destruction of the flesh. Paul wouldn't turn that man over to God to kill him, or God wouldn't turn him over for that God to kill him, or through the devil. Brother, he was turning him over to destruction of the flesh. Hey, God, that my friend, he become an open season, so to speak, under the authority of God, that the devil could wrap him and hurt him. Amen. Hey, God, and eventually he could take his life. But God did give that man a space to repent, and the Bible said, "Golly, saw a work of repentance." And God did say the man was clear in the matter. And God, my friend, knows in a man's heart what he's going to do before he does it. But God's still merciful. Amen. That's right. Amen. If you listen, somebody said, "I wish that." Listen, if you want people to be nice to you, be nice to them. If you want people to respect you, you respect them. Ain't that right?
Yeah.
If you're contentious, then you're going to get contention back.
Yeah.
If you're, I mean, if you want God to use you, then you got to buy yourself in sowing to them things. Can I tell you this tonight? And I don't say this in no boasting, because God does everything in a man's heart. If it's God that does it, it is God. Amen. If any good comes out of me, it's God. Amen. A lot of people say God's in it, but if God is in it, He'll line up with the book. And God will always bear witness of what He's doing. That is, it's a real McCoy, and God don't have to and you don't have to wonder when God does something. Amen. Listen to me. I did not read my Bible or pray just for that. But I did have something I desired from God. And the only way I was going to reap that was sow to it. Now, I'm going to tell you this tonight, and you can believe it or not, there's nothing that God can't do for you if you'll seek Him. What have you been planting or sowing? Now, I know financially people don't like financial preaching, but finances is mentioned in the Bible. I tell anybody, if they is in debt or they is under a heavy load with finances, and most of us are at times, give. That says against what the flesh will tell you, but the answer to God's way is you give and I'll give. You plant and it'll come up. You sow and you'll gather.
Yeah.
But if you don't plant nothing, you don't sow nothing, it ain't coming up.
Right.
Amen. It don't matter whether it's money. It don't matter whether it's the gospel. It don't matter, my friend, whatever it is. Friendliness. It don't matter, friend, whatever it is. It's got to come up.
Right.
If I'm lazy and slothful, then ain't nothing coming up. Amen. Why should I wait on something I hadn't planted? I said this, and I know it's crazy, but it's just true. Why would I expect anything to come up that I didn't plant? I would not take you. I'm not a gardener, okay? I tried it one time. My daddy and grandpa were good. Grandpa was really good. My daddy is too. He's good at the garden. If you go over there and look at his garden, he plows it and takes care of it and gets all the weeds out and does all that junk. Got good tomatoes, you know. Cucumbers, all that, because he planted something, and he wouldn't plant it. You think he planted that plant and say, "Well, I'm gonna plant this, but ain't nothing coming up." Why would you plant it then? He would not take me out to hard ground and say, "Let's stand here a while and let's see if them tomatoes is gonna come up." So I put I'm hoping some corn will come up right there. Is that where you plant? No, I ain't planted nothing. I'm just waiting on it. That's the same way with God. If you don't plant nothing, ain't nothing coming up. Amen. You got to sow to reap. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Listen to me. I know tonight people don't like what I'm about to say, but this is the God truth. People say, well, it's old prayer. It's just old tradition prayer in the church. Bless them that have to give, them that have not to give. God help you. You got something to give. You ain't broke. You are, praise God. That's God. Amen. Amen. Could give something. The widow brought her 2 mites to God, everything she had, all her living, and gave. Amen. They gave out of their abundance. And God said, she gave more than y'all.
Yeah.
It ain't the mouth. Thank God it's the heart.
Yeah.
God loveth a cheerful giver. God loveth a willing giver. I say loveth. He said he'd give willingly. He did say love the cheerful giver. Amen. It ain't just money.
Yeah.
How about giving yourself? How about giving your tithe? How about giving yourself to God tonight? God wants you. He don't care about your pocketbook. He don't need no money. God's used a principle in the Bible, friend. Thank God that he give a man 10, 5, and 1. And he said, go out and bring, thank God, some interest of it. Amen. If God can't listen, I'm God's possession tonight.
Yeah.
If I can't do no good for God, what in the world does he want to feed me for?
Right.
If you went, and I'm not a hunter neither. I'm not a gardener, a hunter. This ain't much of nothing. But brother, all right, Brother Shane, some of you other men, Brother Roberts, you've hunted beagle dogs. You know why he's got them beagle dogs? Not to feed them. He's going to feed them. You know why? Because he wants them to get on a rabbit trail and run that rascal down. And if them beagles quit running that rabbit, then you're going to get rid of them. Ain't that right? He ain't going to keep feeding the dog. Ain't going to work for him. Amen. If that's what the purpose of the dog is. Why would God save me and possess me and never get nothing from me?
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
You worked in a plant. I mean, so you boss man down there at the... Would you go give a man a check every week that come in and sat in the break room for 8 hours and go home? why don't God fire people? He possesses you tonight. I'm giving you a truth.
Yes, sir.
It's called accountability and responsibility to God Almighty. It ain't riding the merry-go-round and not paying the fee. Is that God bought me with his own blood. He purchased me with his power and grace and blood. So he purchased me for the purpose to use me to bring forth fruit for him that he might get glory.
Amen.
And he might bless me in return. And that's what he's done. That's what he does. And so God's telling me to tell you tonight, and I see it in your life. I mean, I'm not telling you don't have no fruit, but I am saying tonight to each people that's here that that's the very purpose of God.
Yeah.
Sow and reap. Sow to the life, sow to spirit things, sow to things that God's put the will of God in your life for, and you'll see it.
Yeah.
You ladies that teach, y'all have people come up to you that's... You've been in teaching before. You have people come up to you that's 12th graders now and say, I remember what you taught me. You invested yourself into them, taught them. Amen. Listen, how many people have said before, many a time, I learned this at Sunday school.
Right.
I heard it when I was a child.
Yeah.
That's why God put them here so you'd hear it. Because he wants to use them.
Yeah.
Listen, when God's through with me, he'll take me.
Amen.
That's what I believe. Why would God keep me around here to feed me? Just to feed me and say, I'll just sit at the house and watch the television. No. I mean, God. God's saying, listen, God wants you to get out and do something for him. Now, Brother Robert Parker said it right tonight. God opened the door for him today. You know what God was doing? He was saying, that's my son. He's telling him. That's why I purchased him, so he could tell him. I opened that door for him to tell him. Amen. Isn't that right?
Sure.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's why you clean the church. You've got people clean the church. Brother Todd, and they do a good job. I thank God for them.
Right.
That's part of the ministry. Everything has got to, listen to me, everything has got to do with the church is part of the ministry, whatever it is. And we don't look at it like it. Why did Jesus say, that a cup of cold water in a disciple's name will not go unrewarded. You know why? Because that's why He put you here. Give Him the water. Give Him a cup of water. Give Him your coat if you got to. You don't need them. That's what He's saying. I put you here to give the man the coat. I'm going to use you. It's going to multiply. When you give that man a coat, he's going to go tell that other man, that Christian better give me a coat, and he'll get interested and want to go hear what the Christian man's got to say. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. If you'll get a hold of this, it'll help you. You can't see it, but it's truth. What I tell you and you like, it don't stop with you. I witnessed to two people the other morning, and I said, I'm a preacher of the gospel. And that man said, I've been to the Baptist church all my life. I said, thank God. I said, I just come out. I said, I was going to hell. And God saved me right there. It just come out. And that man just smiled. I said, thank God. Now, I don't know where that's going to end. I don't know where that preaching message or that teaching message of you or whoever teaches or preaches, I don't know where that's going to end. I don't know where. How far is the seed going to go? Wherever to He sends it. But He ain't going to send it if you don't sow it.
Right.
You got to sow it for it to be sent.
Amen.
Yeah. You know what people see? They see you sowing smiles. You know what I'm saying? That brother's happy in Jesus. That's sowing something. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right, brother. I'm just saying, what you sow is what you reap. That's the law of God. That's the rule of sowing and reaping. And that's exactly what He's teaching here. Amen. Every day you live, you sow something. Amen.
Yeah.
Why's the seed yet in the barn? What would your daddy done, Brother Joe, if y'all was out, planting beans with seeds? And he said, Joe, sow them out down this row. You just stood there and held them in your hand. Come back an hour later and said, you got them beans sowed, don't you? He said, no, I got them in my hand. They wouldn't be in your hand too long.
Oh, no.
You know what? God give you the gospel. Remember, He said, what is in thy hand, Moses? He said, it's a rod. He said, throw it on the ground. It became a serpent. He said, grab it by the tail. And it was a rod. Stick it over the Red Sea. The same rod parted a Red Sea, and over 2 million Jews walked through on dry ground just by the obedience of one man. Amen. And I'm going to tell you this, and I'm through. Jesus sowed into us His death and His resurrection. That's right. Amen. And look what's come from it. A bride. Amen. That's what's come from it. That's a blessing, ain't it? What you sow is what you reap. That's the law. God said that. Ecclesiastes Solomon even said that. He said, cast your bread on the water and it'll come back to you. Amen. I hadn't forgot your prayer. Remember that? Remember your prayers? Remember that, sister? Your prayers? 26 years, I believe, is what you said. I'm casting it on the water. It'll come back to you. Amen. Brother Keith, the prayers you prayed years ago for your children to marry somebody that was saved. You've seen it before your eyes? Seen it before your eyes? Huh? You know why? Because you cast the bread, you sowed the prayers, and you got the answer. It's in the Bible. I want to say this. Put it to practice. Put it to practice. It's active. It's active. It's active. Whatever you do, God's got an action. Amen. Appreciate you hearing me. Let's stand tonight. I love you. Thank God.